You're listening to episode 226 of Women Worldwide. For all you moms out there, this episode is for you. If you're struggling with feelings of overwhelm and fear for your child or children, then I've got a guest today who will help you tune into your internal guidance system or your mom GPS. Stay tuned to learn more. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. Thank you for tuning in, whether you are listening on iTunes or Google Play, or now you're watching us on YouTube. That's right. You can subscribe to the channel. We're just so grateful and we appreciate you. You're letting us know that all of the stories from our amazing guests, that they're helping, that you appreciate their insights, advice, the tips are actionable. We love hearing this, but most of all, how our guests and their stories are helping you to fuel your own passion and to power up your own voice. Our goal has always been to create impact and make a difference one story at a time. And I've got a guest today who has a great story to tell, but let me first introduce the topic. The topic is for all of you moms out there. And anybody who knows a mom who might be struggling with anxiety, who might be having a tough time because they have fear for their child or children, and it's overwhelming. Or maybe it's because they just don't feel tapped into their inner GPS, that guidance system that helps them support their child in any situation. My guest today is Laura Hackle. And Laura, in addition to being a sculptural and ceramic artist, she's actually an energy healer and a shaman. And she uses visual, sound, and energy vibrations to help unblock what is stopping people, moms, from helping and reaching their full potential. I could say so much about Laura, but I think it's so much better if she shares her journey with you. So Laura, it's great to have you on my show. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited.
It's such a pleasure. And, you know, I gave you this introduction and the energy healing and finding being a mom and finding that GPS. Maybe you could just share how you got into artful healings and also mindful moms. Where's that come from?
Yeah. So it was a divine plan because my physical body, my physical mind thinks it was an accident, right? It just means that it was not on my plan. But I actually, interestingly enough, I grew up in an engineering family. So there was one way to do everything at the right
boom,
way.
Boom, boom.
And I got a computer science degree because I didn't want to be an engineer, but that was what was valued in my family.
Sure.
And I learned really quickly, like, that computer, when you program, the computers don't talk to you. And so I got, like, I wanted to work with people. So I took a job out of school at a startup firm where I could talk to people. And 17 years later, like, I was running, like, I staffed everyone in the company. Like, whoever was on a job, I was the one that got them on the job, or I ran different departments. I ran HR for a while. And when we were 6,500 people in 55 locations across the world, like, enough had changed. My boss, who I loved and mentor, had left to start his own company. And I just had this thought, like, you know, like, I had everything anybody could want in life. My third child had just been born. They were asking me to travel. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm not doing that with my third. I did it with the second and I'm not doing it again.
Sure.
And there was just something in me. Like, I called a friend and I was like, okay, this is the point in my life where I had said I was going to work part-time because somebody has to watch the kids. Like, that's what I wanted to do. Like, I wanted to
watch themselves. Right.
But my identity was so much tied into who I was at work.
Right.
Right. So I was on this journey then of, okay, what do I do next? So I started going to yoga. I was like always envied people that had time to go to yoga. And I was like, oh, I get to be one of these people. And in 1 week, like my mother-in-law gifted me a kiln and a wheel. A friend of mine gifted me a bowl and told me where she made it locally, like where I could take classes. And another stranger looked at me and
changes.
Said, are you a potter? And I said, not yet. And I was like, whoa. Like, so I started doing that. And I just gave myself time to experiment. And a really influential person came into my life. It's a friend and mentor of mine, Marianne Robot. And she was like, oh, I can see like that you have like, your heart is so closed. And I was like, what is she talking about? My heart is closed. Like I got a heart. It's
right here. I know it's there.
But I was like, okay, so what's this healing thing? So I started seeing her and you know, it's
was
like
she an energetic healer.
Yeah. So she's an energy master. Yes.
Okay.
And so now she runs healing schools and I coach with her in her healing schools. And it's just amazing to watch what opened up for me in life, how I began to see that all of my patterns were like things that I had picked up when I was young. Like we form these beliefs from when we're like, before we're 8 years old, we have 80% or more of our beliefs. And then we start running life with them. And think about it. When you're 8 years old, you don't have the frontal cortex developed. So like the beliefs don't make any sense, but they don't live like beliefs to us. They live like our truths.
Mm.
Right. So then we start
being different for everybody.
Exactly. And so I went to shaman school to be healed myself. Because it was a great way to be healed. And I still joke because I slept through the first year of shaman school because the work was so deep, I actually had to be unconscious. Like I could not be present because there was so much work and it was all in my head, right? All in this like rewiring left brain and right brain. So I actually had to go help her teach a class so I could tell what was actually in it. And to be a shaman, there was a second year. And I was like, yeah, I'm good. I got my healing. And the second year I ended up in the class and I was like, oh, it's because of my kids. Because two of my three kids are like, they're crystal children. They're incredibly sensitive and mm-hmm. they're up to big things in the world. They challenge the status quo on a daily basis. And, right. and I'm a conflict avoider at the time, right? So I have these kids that are big and I'm like, don't rock the boat because that was my family. Don't rock the boat.
Right. That was your belief from before.
Right. So I went through the second year and anyway, she ended up teaching a third year that I ended up at. And I was like, okay, I'm supposed to do this work in the world. Like, what does that look like? And then the universe comes along as it always does. And, during one of the classes, she'd said, oh, and now Laura's going to play the crystal bowls. And I went, I'm going to do what? Like I had never played them. I love them. Like listening to them, but I had never played them. And when she said that, I was just like, okay, I can argue for my limitations or I can just stand up and see what happens. And I have a whole backstory about not being musical, right? So to me, crystal bowls were musical.
So can you, for the listeners, especially if they're listening,
yeah,
what does it mean to play a crystal bowl?
So here's a crystal bowl that I actually have a great big peony from my yard in.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So it's an optically clear quartz.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah.
And they resonate and all of them have different tones. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is that the vibration of the crystal balls is so high that energy that's not serving you anymore can't stay stuck. It has to pop itself up. It has to raise up.
Okay.
And so what's really cool is I'll play for a room full of people. And everybody will be there for a reason and each person will have something amazing happen individually for them.
Because the energy is raising up almost into the universe to help?
Yes. Yeah, so think about it this way. A lot of people think about it as good energy and bad energy.
Okay.
And really it's high vibration and low vibration energy. So happiness, like mm-hmm. happiness and joy and fun, they have a light vibration, right? They come in and they come out. But think about something that you might be angry or upset about. or ashamed about, like those energies are lower vibration and they stick to you. Mm-hmm. And even when you're like, fine, like, so if you think in the last week of a happy moment and you think, okay, how long were you happy for?
Right.
And then you think about an angry moment and how long were you angry for and how many people did you tell? And even when you said to yourself, I'm done with this story, enough.
Yeah, it really wasn't done.
It's still hanging out in your energy field. Mm-hmm. And so all of this stuff happens in our external energy field, and it actually leads to illness in our bodies if we don't clear it when it's in our energy, because it just it starts coming in and giving in. And so the vibrations actually like will target like, oh, what's it ready? What's ready to leave? And some of it is really old and you don't even need to know what it is, which is the amazing part. But I had somebody last Sunday say, oh, I'm so glad to be here tonight, because every Monday when I show up to work, they go, oh, you've been at the bowls, haven't you? Like they can always tell the next
they can
day.
Tell. That's fascinating.
And I've watched people negotiate through divorce and through life crises, through health crises, by coming to the bowls once a month. Like it's and like this reset.
So these are physical classes that you're holding in your area. Is there, can you do this if you're talking to somebody on Zoom, for example, on video? You don't have to be in person.
No, because energy isn't local. So it travels. It's not confined by time and space. And I have some great recordings on my website, too, that are amazing. So one of them is
awesome.
Being able to release past. And one of them is like attracting the future you want. So it's sort of a good way to, depending on what you want, you can
because it's all about your energy and what you're holding on to or what energy you allow in to let you reach the possibilities.
Right. So I play the bowls in this training class. And then the next Sunday, I walk into my yoga studio and the owner says, we're doing Sunday night wellness events and I'm looking for workshops. Do you know of anything? Like we have some meditation and this. And I was like, I think I can play the bowls. Like, I think I can figure out how to get them here. And 25 people showed up and I was like, oh, now what? Right? Like, but it's been just a fabulous journey. And so that gave me permission to be like, okay, that was my thing for a while.
Right.
And because I've always loved people, I have this ability to like, when you're talking to me, I can hear the different beliefs you have that live like truths that aren't like everybody else's. Right. So I have a way of being able to ask you those questions. And the more I did healing work, the more I realized like that I loved working with moms and my kids, like, called me forth in such a big way that I feel like I would love to be that support for other people. And it's as simple as, so take this situation. My middle son, when he was 15, went to a ski academy in Oregon. And so that was trauma in itself, right? So how many of us as moms are like, over my dead body? You know, will I send my child 3,000 miles away, even though I know in my heart, this is what needs to happen, right? So there's that whole conversation we have. And when we get to that point and he goes away, so he would call me once in a while. The kid's 15, right? And he's in the middle of all kinds of things. So he'd call me. And if I said something that would annoy him, he would hang up the phone. Now, this is my sweet child, right? I'm like, what is that? And when he first did it, I got so like upset. And of course, I could enroll anybody in how disrespectful he was, right? I could be like, Deirdre, can you believe this? And there's a part of me that said, okay, whoa, wait, stop for a second. Like, what's happening here? Like, so I'm putting the belief that hanging up the phone is disrespectful, right? Which tied way back to something in my childhood, right? Mm-hmm. And so when I got to go heal that, then what opened up for me is that he was actually hanging up the phone as a sign of respect because he did not want to say something that he could never take back that would hurt me.
Oh my gosh, what a different way of looking at that.
Right. So he would hang up the phone and then 10 minutes, 10 days, like whenever he could later, he'd be like, sorry. Like, so, but it was just slipping. Like that was his way of showing respect for me.
Because once you say it, you can't take it back.
Right. But how many of us get caught in that they're disrespecting me?
Right.
And don't ever get to the, like, what else is going on. And so that whole idea of being a mindful mom is knowing that inside of you, you have a knowing of what your child needs. And it might be covered in a whole bunch of stuff that has to be peeled away, but that you're willing to take the steps for you to really separate what's yours and what's theirs.
Right.
I also can't tell you how many moms come to me and they want their kids to clean up their rooms. Right. And then they make their kids clean up the rooms and then the kids are mad and they're upset that the kids are mad. And I'm sort of like, of course they're mad. They don't want to clean up their room.
Right.
But why, like, but what does it mean to you that they're mad? Right. Because they're not approving of you. Right. Like, so now yes. you're like, oh, so who, like, so where else in life are you looking for that approval? Because can it just not be enough that they cleaned up their room and they didn't like it? Okay. All right. Okay.
Next.
Okay.
Next. Right. But no, if you internalize it, then you're creating more of the negative energy that's just going to play out in that relationship. But it's a lot easier when I'm talking about it with you.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. If I think back, I mean, all of our kids are grown. They're adults. They're mm-hmm. in their 20s. But if I think back to those days of the rooms, the mess, I could see how, yeah, we can get them to clean it, but they're going to be pissed off. And then we're not going to like that.
Yeah. So I have a great story about, I used to get so triggered by my two older boys leaving their socks on the floor and their video equipment. Like, they'd use the living room as the gaming central.
That must be a thing, socks on the floor and video equipment.
It would drive me nuts. And it had all of my power. Like, I would try yelling at them and that didn't work. And I hate yelling. So, like, all of these things I tried didn't work. Nope. And one day I was like, okay, so what does it mean to me? Like, it's not the socks on the floor that are causing you to suffer. It's what you think it means that the socks are on the floor.
Right? And so, exactly.
And for me, it meant that I didn't matter. Like, there was a thing of respect, but there was a, I didn't matter. And I was like, holy crap, I have spent my life proving that I matter. Like, my whole career was proving right. that I mattered because I didn't think I did.
And
yeah.
It could be the farthest thing from the child's mind or anybody else's mind. It could just be, I don't feel like picking up my socks. I'll do it later. I'm definitely going to do it later, but I'm not going to do it now.
Right. And when I figured that out, so what I did is I just said to them, okay, when I get up in the morning, if your socks and your video equipment are out, the video equipment is mine for 24 hours. And if you want it back, you have to do a chore to earn it back. And by the end of that week, I didn't have that problem anymore because I took my power back as the mom, right? Like, I was giving them my power to make me crazy over socks on the floor. Like, it doesn't have to be complex. And then the big stuff just makes you go, oh boy. Like, there's always...
Oh, my goodness. So a lot of the healing you've applied to yourself, in mm-hmm. a sense. In order... Laura, that makes complete sense. In order to be a mindful... to help other moms be mindful, you truly have to be a mindful mom.
Right. And so when your 15-year-old's coach calls you because he's had an accident and his face is cut and he's in ski patrol, and you're like, okay. And then ski patrol calls you and says it's so bad they're sending him an ambulance ride 3 hours away to Vancouver because it requires surgery. You go, okay. And then the hospital calls you and they say, do we have permission to use some, like, whatever those things are called, veins in his... and his feet because we might need to put them in his face. And your husband is saying, send me pictures. And I'm going, oh, do not send me a photo.
No.
And he's in Canada and you're nowhere near him. Like, and I'm without a passport in Georgia. So so I'm like, okay, I figured it out. I can be there by the time you get out of surgery. And he's like, yeah, mom. He's like, they're going to put me through surgery and then they're going to put me on the couch in the house for a couple of days. Can you figure out when I'm going to be back on campus and can you come spend the week with me? Cause that's when I'm going to need your help. And you know, it's like that. It's that thing that I know this is his life and that if I have him stop doing what he loves, I'm pulling the soul right out of him and I can't bear to do that.
No,
but I have to have a process for going through and handling what I have to handle to be able to show up for him in a way that's supporting him and not being like, yeah, well, if you'd stop skiing, then this would never happen.
Right.
And to just keep watching him take that next step out in the world and just keep turning it over to the higher power and saying, all right, if this is your plan, like, protect him. like I literally wrap that kid in angels every day. I'm like, okay, keep him up in the air for as long as he needs to be.
Exactly. I mean, Laura, it just sounds like you really have let go a lot of those beliefs, which we all need to think about and look at and move through, because that's the energy block. And you can't give your own good energy to your child, right? You can't turn on the internal system for the support if you yourself are blocked.
Right. And our relationship with our kids, like society, we think about it as it's our job to teach our kids. But mm-hmm. we often forget that they chose us. And there's something that they have to teach us. So are we open to what they're teaching us? Right, because I could stand for my kids in a way I could never stand for me. Right. It was like the first step of standing for me was standing for them and then standing for me. So it's like really when you're aware that, okay, I'm learning something from them and you get curious. Okay, what are they here to teach me? That's where it is, because we're not here. Like our lives are not here to be perfect, right? Like we're here to have a human experience and to experience a whole bunch of things. And then
exactly.
we get to choose, right? Because it's like we don't get to choose what happens to us, but we get to choose how we react to what happens to us.
That's a great point. Laura, I'm going to ask you to hold your thoughts just for a moment. We're going to shift our focus to the sponsor of today's episode, which is Routledge Publishing. And I don't know if you know Routledge Publishing, but they're one of the leading publishers in the world of textbooks, academic books and journals. And they are the publisher of my book, which is Answers for Modern Communicators. And Laura, this book is 150 questions that I've answered to help modern communicators today. And I've had friends in the book answer some things. I thought it would be really fun if I asked you a question. And you just said something that's really interesting, because you said something about can't be perfect. The question that I have for you to answer, question 47, why can't your relationship be perfect?
I love that question. And perfect is a societal construct, right? Like we live in this world and in society, we think that there's a perfect. But in ceramics, there's a term, a Japanese term, that's called wabi-sabi. And it's this thought that perfect is actually like not perfect. There's something about like in nature, things are always like a little tilted or a little off. And it applies to our lives. Like we're here to have these experiences. And I believe that we come into this lifetime and we travel with soul families. We travel with people that we've traveled with before and we'll travel with again. And we have these agreements that they're going to do something for us. You know, like I'm sure the agreement with my husband is, you know, for him to be able to, you know, he can stand in whatever he wants, whenever he wants. Right. So that's like, that's the thing that I get to pick up from him is standing in my own voice. And my kids were all here for that same reason, for me to be able to move out of fear and really to own my own power. And so, you know, so if you just think about like, so who's perfect by definition, right? Like all of the spiritual teachings are like, by definition, what's happening right now is perfect, right? And how do we see the perfection in what's happening right now? Because it's opening a door. Like we lose our jobs when we think that's terrible. But how many people do you know lost their jobs and they end up in a better one, that they exactly. love more, that they get better pay?
Mm-hmm.
So it's perfect. And I get in the moment, like we're human. So we're like, yeah, that is so not perfect.
Yeah, it doesn't feel perfect.
But it's this practice to be like,
something's
okay,
coming.
So what? If you can believe that life is perfect. And I was just talking to a client the other day, and she and her husband had something that had them like totally torn apart. And in her words, like it was the best thing that could ever happen to their relationship, because they were living on top of a whole bunch of stuff. And they had to actually go down and have a conversation about it. But they came out of it so much more connected and so much more in alignment. And so you look at it and you say their relationship is better because of something that they didn't want to have happen.
That's fascinating. Thank you so much for answering the question. And thank you to Rutledge Publishing for sponsoring this episode of Women Worldwide. Okay, I want to dive back into the conversation. There's something that you had, even before we started chatting, you had a water bottle that had a crystal in it.
Yeah.
Yes. So, you know, you talked about the bowls, the energy healing. Can you share just your thoughts about crystals and how it helps to be a mindful mom?
So first of all, as moms, right, how many of us are all about giving everything we have to everybody everywhere else, right?
Yes,
we
spreading
have all
ourselves a little thin.
Yeah, exactly. And we feel like to be a good mom, we have to be in the PTA and we have to do this and we have to do that. And maybe we're working full time and blah, blah, blah. So there are all of these things going on. And, you know, crystals are these amazing things because they get to sit in a Mother Earth, or as the Peruvians call her, Pachamama. And so Mother Earth is this generous and kind and nurturing energy, right? So crystals are formed out of pressure and a lot of time in the earth. So they come out at this vibrating level that's very, very high. And so when you use them, like some people, there's all kinds of research, right? You can say, citrine is really good in your abundance corner, or it helps bring abundance. And, you know, so you can look at it from the headspace, or you can actually just like walk into a crystal store and just be like, okay, which one calls to you? And then look at it and then figure out what's it for. So I saw this as a water bottle, and I've seen them with like crystals on the bottom, but they're not in the water. And what I liked about this one is the crystal's actually in the water. So the water is sitting in it, and I can put my water in the sun. At night, I leave my water for the moonlight. Right. And so it turns out that I picked a crystal called a fluorite. And wouldn't you know that fluorite takes the energies in your physical system that don't serve you and it washes them out. Oh. So it's perfect to have be in a water bottle, right? Absolutely. Because it's
washing
perfect
you
for them
out. Mm-hmm.
And you also like, so a rose quartz in a water bottle is great because a rose quartz is about infinite love and peace. So for those of us that need to remind ourselves like, oh, if I take care of myself first, I'll have 10 times more to give to everyone else.
Right.
So then and the act of like even looking at it, every time I look at it, they tell you to bless your water. And I can't be in that habit when I'm drinking out of a plastic water bottle. Like I just don't. But when I'm drinking out of this water bottle, it's sort of like I respect the crystal.
Sure.
And so I'm showing gratitude that it's working for me at whatever level. And so, the crystals are so much fun. This is one that I brought in the room for the interview. Yeah, it's a clear quartz crystal, so it magnifies your intention. So it's really fitting that as we're talking about moms, right, magnify that intention out in the world. And this is one of my favorite babies. Like, you can see how big is my head, right?
Gorgeous. How heavy is that?
It's probably about 5 pounds.
Holy cow. What is it? It's so pretty.
It's a rose quartz.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Yeah. So they're, you know,
so sparkly.
Exactly. I got that one in Colorado. They sell these big chunks of them at Estes Park, like everywhere you go.
So you mentioned, are there crystal stores? You can go to a crystal store and just walk in and be like, which one is vibrating and kind of calling me?
Yeah, a lot of New Age bookstores have crystals with them. The crystals everywhere, and you're finding them more and more all over.
Yeah.
And when I play the crystal bowls, I bring like a flat of crystals, and there may be 30 different kinds in there, and people will pick which ones, and then I can share with them what that one means, right? Because they'll always say, well, I need one for anxiety. And I'm like, just close your eyes and trust. I'm like, which ones do you need? Because even though they're crystals for anxiety, it's not all equal. Like, what's your anxiety caused by? Right? There'll be different crystals that will support that.
Oh, that's really neat. Once you select your crystals, is there anything that you need to do, or can you just place them on your desk, or maybe they're in your bedroom? You mentioned something about being on the window, the moonlight, the sunlight.
So I keep malachite on my desk, and I don't know if you can see it. Has
is
all
that
of these
green?
Yeah.
It almost looks like jade.
Yeah. So it's actually a stone that helps, it's a protection stone. So I keep it on my desk. I have crystals that, it's really funny. My husband laughs that he sleeps with his wife and crystals because I'll bring crystals into bed sometimes. But you can also put them underneath your bed, like so that they're working on you at night, but you don't have to worry about rolling over on them, or you can put them on your bedside table.
So they have energy too, basically.
They have energy. They're high vibration. So just like the crystal bowls are a very high vibration, they are a high vibration. So that means that if I put a rose quartz by my heart, for example, that energy field is encouraged to move out in the world just naturally. And it's a good idea to clean them. There's a crystal called selenite that's self-cleaning and will clean other crystals. But to clean them, you can leave them out in the moonlight, or you can put them in an Epsom salt bath. Or it's really funny because once in a while, I'll put a lot of crystals in a bath and take a bath. You know, I'm like, ooh, this is really nice.
All these things I've never heard of or experienced.
I know. And the way that crystals work are actually the same way that healing vessels work, right? So, so I'm a ceramic artist, and
did you make that bowl?
I did.
Very pretty.
I did, and what happens is that as I'm making them, they're actually picking up on a vibration, and for me, it's this whole fun process. So some people don't like to glaze. Because they're like, oh, it's too hard to get the right combination. I just like hold the bowl in my hand and walk over to the glaze tiles. And I'm like, okay, that one, you know, like that combination or this or that.
Like calling to you.
Yeah, exactly. And then when they're done, I actually tap into them and see what kind of energy they hold. And so this one is probably doesn't surprise you. It's called the love of the cosmos.
Oh, yeah.
And so like if you have this in your environment, like it's sending that energy, that high frequency out everywhere.
And so you don't have to do anything to make that happen. It's not like you have to play your ceramic bowl. It just naturally happens.
It just happens. And so you can eat out of them. They're dishwasher safe, a whole bunch of other things, but they're really just there to support, you know, whatever your intentions are.
So does that mean that any ceramic bowl? So I remember, you know, we spent summers in Rhode Island and there would be this beautiful craft store that had the most gorgeous ceramic bowls with patterns similar, different. Would that bowl represent something that could have that high vibration if I put it in my kitchen, if I put some fruit in it? Is it any ceramic bowl or does it have to be created in a special way?
Well, I do believe that ceramic bowls have a higher vibration than the ones that you buy in the store in sets, right? Because they're made by hand and with love. Mm-hmm. And then these bowls have an especially high vibration because of who I am in the world, right? Because of what my training is, right? So that from the first year that I fell asleep in healing school, right? Like I've been in school for probably 10 or 12 years because it's a constantly evolving and growing. And so it's being able to harness and channel that energy with the intention for healing. Right. Like that's why I create them. And for me, it's my fun. Like it's the play that I do. I get to go in and be, oh, well, what happens if I do this and this and this? You know, and oftentimes it's not what I expect and it's always just perfect.
Right. Is it hard to get to setting? And so when you have a mom who wants to be more mindful, I don't know if you'd answer this, but how long does it actually take so that you can move through whatever negative energy is holding you back to be able to set new intentions and to move forward in the way that, you know, with all these possibilities? Is that a long process?
So the cool thing about it is that it starts right away, right? So from the first time that I talk to somebody in the first session, there's always something that shifts and changes for them. And then it's like, okay, the way life works, right, is that when we get to this first step, like we go, oh, we're on the first step, excellent. And then life presents the second step and we're like, oh boy. Step. All right. Now we get to the second step and we're like, great. And now the third step. And so it's this process. But what I find usually is that if somebody is like, okay, like I'm really ready to embrace something different. Like I'm ready to have more in my life. That it is a 6 months to a year process depending on who they are. And it's not that there's not value right away, but it's this constantly being able to go back. And then what you find when you're actually in, just like I said, I've been doing in the energy work and doing the energy work for over a dozen years, because you're like, well, why wouldn't I do it? Like, it's so effective. Right. Why wouldn't I, you know, be able to live my life? And in the beginning, actually, a lot of times, the movement is actually really much more visible, because they're big things that are shifting, right? Because you have,
sure,
you know, you have things that you've brought with you. Like, I can't tell you how many moms I talked to in their childhood made up that they're responsible for everything, right? Or how many people have made up that they're not smart, or how many people have made up, you know, that you can't rock the boat, or that they don't matter. Right. Or like all of these things, like we make up when we're younger, and it's still living out in our life today.
So it does. What about childhood trauma? So, I mean, there are beliefs that are shaped, because maybe your parents were really strict, or, you had to act a certain way. So that plays out in your life and your career. But what happens if somebody has really suffered something traumatic when they were younger? Are you experiencing that? And what's that like to work through?
Yeah. So what happens is that trauma gets caught in our tissues and cells and organs. And so, like, there's a piece of that that's within us, and we're never really free of it until we actually go back and process it, but process it in a way that makes sense. Because you know, like, there are unspeakable things that happen that you would wish no one to go through. And yet, by being trapped in that trauma, they can't get on to the next piece of their big, big life. I have a client who's amazing, and her work in the world is to work with people who have experienced trauma at a deep, deep level. And so her journey is to be able to continue to release,
right,
like, what she made up about herself, right? Because, you know, whether it's like you stay in it because, you know, you don't really have a choice when you're a kid, but then you make up, right, that something else, or your whole way that you look at the world is different.
Right. It frames who you are, what you've become.
And can I tell you that trauma happens not just when what we would think about is like mental abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse.
Yeah.
Trauma can be from anything, right? So, I have a friend who got in touch with this thought that when he was in the fifth grade, he handed his mom his report card, and she turned away to sneeze. And in that moment, he made up that he wasn't good enough, and that she didn't care, like that she was just like, oh man, yeah, like, yeah, this isn't good enough. That's what lodged in his brain. That was traumatic.
That is traumatic.
Right? Yeah, so even small things in the child's brain becomes trauma, and it's going back and you know, working through all of that.
It. So, you know, you had mentioned that the front part of your brain, I guess, is it the neocortex, isn't fully developed, you know, when you're 8 years old and you experience things. What about when your brain is fully developed and you're an adult and you experience trauma? And does that, you know, you could be having a perfectly happy life. Things are, you know, seem perfect and something, yeah, happens. How does energy healing also help there when you're an adult and something just out of the ordinary occurs?
Yeah, yeah, it does. Because what happens when you experience something traumatic is that you actually, it takes all of your beliefs and flips them on the edge, or it actually has you pull out the one that you believe in. Like, so many of us go through life as victims, right? That life is happening to us, not for us.
Not for us.
So when something traumatic happens, it's easy to be stuck in the victim and to, yeah, lose our power. And so there's like a work to be done to be able to get back into your power. Like, what, like, where is it in your life? And a lot of times, and I don't know why it works this way, but like, our biggest pain is our biggest gift in the world. Hmm. And so, like, the woman who has had a traumatic childhood, her biggest gift is being able to hold the space for other people to heal themselves. Like, she, right? So it's you know, feeling like I didn't matter in the world is why I am such a stand for everybody feeling accepted for who they are. Like, I don't care who you are, I'll accept you, because that was my biggest pain. Mm-hmm. And so it is that. It also takes some ability, because our souls have this plan for us, right? So when you can tap into someone's soul and say, all right, here's what your soul's telling you. Like, here are the messages from your soul, or here's what your soul has in mind. Right? And we all have free will. So we can be sure. Like, yeah, not today. And sometimes your soul lets you get away with that. And sometimes your soul is like, you know, like the job disappears or something else happens, because it's like, no, you need to be on this different path. Like, this is what you need to do next.
So your pain can be your gift. Laura, this is all fascinating. You're not going to believe this, but we're at the end of the show where you get to give advice. Like, this episode just flew by.
It did.
If you would, maybe just give some advice to the listeners out there, wrap it up, how they can find their energy and be more mindful.
Yeah. So the first thing is to really like do something outside of your comfort zone, right? Like, so we all live in our comfort zone, and it's outside of our comfort zone that we begin to have some perspective. So even if it's driving a different way to work, right? If you usually turn left, turn right.
You're right.
Like, just it causes your brain to work differently. And so that's like doing that, do something different. And the other part is that the next time that you get angry or frustrated about something, do this really fun exercise where you write down what happened, right? So write down and try to write down the facts of what happened, and then look at it again and then laugh at how it's not factual. Like, you have a lot of judgments, right? Like, and then he said, and then, so it's like just putting down the facts of what happened, and then ask yourself, like, okay, so what did I make up? Right? Like, what am I believing it means that this happened? Right? So it happens with husbands all the time, right? They say, did you do the laundry? And you're like, what the heck? You know, like you're already like, and they're just asking, are my clothes done? You know, or like,
but we're taking it to a different level. Right.
Right. And we're like, you know, I'm already overwhelmed. Ah. So it's like, what we make up it means. So if you just write down the facts, like, you get to see how it's funny, how like socks on the floor.
Right.
Like, that's
the socks on the floor.
On the floor. Not the fact isn't my kids don't respect me. The fact is the socks are on the floor. But what you write down gives you this great insight into
this
what
is great.
You're actually thinking. Yeah. And then, I always believe, you know, find a crystal, like find one. And, you know, the way the intention works, if you decide that you want to find a crystal, just, you know, say to the universe, okay, send me the right crystal. And you'll be walking along somewhere and you'll walk right by a storefront that has them, or a friend will gift one to you, or like, it can actually be really easy. So just like, look at that and think about like what yoga experience, what breathing, what meditating, like make it a big game. Like, ooh, I'm going to try this and see how I feel. Cause that's all it is. And yeah, but for moms especially, it's like, if you can just carve out 10 minutes a day to breathe, it will change your life. Just 10 minutes. 10 minutes where you shut the doors and turn off your phone and everybody's can fend for themselves. And I do something really controversial, which is that when I go to bed at night, I turn my phone on airplane mode. Now, I have kids in LA and in Sweden and, you know, in New Hampshire, and they know that they have to call the house phone in the middle of the night. If it's it better be a damn emergency, because I'm not good at night. Like, don't wake me up from my sleep.
That's right? Now, they what can I do. I do the exact, it's not on airplane mode, but it is on silent. And everybody has to know that if it's an emergency, either call the house phone or you got to call my husband, whose phone is connected to his Fitbit watch.
Exactly.
But he prefers that, just not me.
Yeah, no, exactly. But it's just like that reclaiming the space you need for you, like reclaiming what works for you. Because the minute you start doing that, like, that's what we're teaching our kids. So we're giving and giving and giving, and we're teaching them to give and give and give and not to take it
to reclaim. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's so important. Last question, super easy. Where can people find out more about you and your energetic healing?
Yeah, they can find out more at artfulhealings.com. or mindful-mom.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the show, sharing, first of all, your journey, everything about the vibrations, the crystal bowls, the ceramics, the crystals. What you do with Mindful Moms is amazing. So thank you.
Thank you for having me. I totally enjoyed it.
You're welcome. And I want to thank all of you listeners for tuning in to Women Worldwide. Keep the feedback coming. We are learning and growing as a result. So if you're on Twitter, tweet us. If you're on Facebook, comment. If you're on YouTube, send a comment, subscribe to the channel. And you can also get Women Worldwide updates at our show page, which is womenworldwideshow.com. We appreciate all of you, and you're helping us to find the most amazing guests like Laura. And until our next episode, folks, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.